So again, satsang is pretty informal. We put the mic out so that in the midst of doing the satsang, if there are any additional questions or comments, then please use the mic, because this is getting recorded for people that can't be here, and so that they can then hear all of the question and dialogue that's taking place. And without further ado, can you explain bhakti yoga? So this was sent in by a person that's not here today. Bhakti yoga is the yoga, and yoga means union, or the path of union through love. Bhakti is love, devotion. So we use bhakti yoga and devotion. The first way to establish love in the heart is to have some type of gratitude, or to have deity, or have your heart open to deity, or in some of the yoga paths, some people are connected with guru. But you have some point of reference to where you can have a heart expansion start to take place. Or you can have also within the path of self-inquiry, they speak on this, and you can read if you're interested in this, how does love, the path of bhakti, fit in with jnana or the path of self-inquiry. And so how this works together is that one has love and reverence for the universe and for the essential self of your being, because all being has the essential self, which is that part of just absolute pure life, which is always perfect as it is. This is how the path unfolds. You can't reach that which is God essence within if it weren't there to begin with. Okay, so the path of this yoga and this path of jnana and self-inquiry that one has is just letting go of all the collected garbage that we have that covers up and masks this essential self, which is there. Okay. So one uses also this path of bhakti. Some people have a very difficult time to relate to the perfection and this inherent perfection that's within, okay? Or they have a difficult time to relate to God as being spirit, formless. So they need some type of form to relate to. So this is why in many of the paths you have the archetypes. And the archetypes like Shiva or Krishna, or, you know, even, you know, you can relate to Christ if you happen to be coming from the Christian modality. You know, this gives you a point of reference and a point of focus. Okay, for some it's guru. They put their trust there, their faith there. And that's when you can start to establish trust and faith somewhere, you can start to open up. Okay. When you start having some faith and trust, then you start to develop grace. Okay. And how that works is finally you're starting to get the doership of self out of the way. And once we get the doership of self out of the way, then the natural flow can begin to start to take place. Okay. That's how grace works. It comes out of that essential God self that's within that point of light, which is perfect as it is. Okay. When we get ourselves out of the way and stop screwing everything up, then it has a chance to manifest. Okay. And it manifests through having faith and that trust that it will do so. But we need to come to that faith and trust by developing a relationship somewhere. Okay. And so also some of the mantras and this type of thing can also help with that as well. You have a mantra which helps to allow the mind to still and helps you to put, you know, some energy towards that direction. Okay. But bhakti can carry through, you know, all of whatever you're doing. Part of bhakti and part of this is also seeing that there's that God essence in the midst of everyone. Okay, so just honor that and, you know, see that as well. And start to enjoy existence. Okay. So yeah, bhakti is union through love. If you read some of the poets like Rumi, or you read some of the things like Kahil Gibran or some of these, they were very devoted, you know. And if you have such love for God or for something, you lose yourself in that. You know how it is when you have a new relationship or something and it's just everything is so exciting. Okay. There's so much bliss. Okay. Well, this is the type of bliss which can be unending because it's not built on the foibles, you know, and things that you see in other people. So put it out there and allow it to start to develop in your life. Okay. So all of these different type of yogas are ways to have a union. There's also karma yoga, which is doing the best you can do through action. Okay, for society. You do seva for society or for God or for whatever. And you do it from the heart out of love rather than just for the immediate reward. Whether it's monetary money or whatever you're doing it for, change your view of it. Okay. Do it out of love for society or whatever. And get out of the mundane mind that I'm doing this for the paycheck, you know. I'm just doing it for that reward at the end. And so this then becomes another way to develop through your working or through your interaction with your family, your duty that you have to do, a way to develop a union with God or a union with spirit. Okay? So all of these yogas are developed to work within your daily life. Okay? To bring more union rather than this feeling of separation. The path of jnana or knowledge comes out of this direct experience. Okay. Comes out of this path of also self-inquiry to find out what you are and more importantly, what you're not. Okay. You're not these conditioned ideas you have about yourself. This is not what we are. These are what creates our bondage, what creates and sustains our suffering. We are never that. We are something beyond that. It's such a shock when you finally go into this nirvikalpa sahaj and you finally are in this nirvikalpa samadhi where there's no world seen. And it's not like seeing God as an image or seeing it. It's just only that which is. There's no cognition of you. There's no cognition of the world. There's no cognition of anything. There's just simply that. And it's pure and it's one without a second and it's beyond words. And once that's experienced, you come back into out of this deep meditation state, and even the world comes into view. But everything has changed immediately. These ideas you had about yourself that continued the suffering persona end, because you know that this is inherent. This is what we are, and without this, there would be no life, and there's no possibility for separation. There has never been separation. Okay? So everything changes, boom, like that. And it's more real than anything we say here. So even though we come back out of this state, then the mind stills. And this peace is there, like Christ said, this peace that passes all understanding is there. And it doesn't matter what comes in daily life. Yeah, there's still ups and downs in daily life, okay? But there's a steady, steady core. You know that this absolute is what you are. Okay? And this is unchanging. Okay? And this is always perfect as it is. Okay? The imperfections were gathered because of an attachment to a form. Okay? An attachment to what took place within that lifetime or lifetimes. Okay? So one doesn't grow to become God realized, one rather lets go of all the collected stuff. You don't learn your way there. It's always been present. Okay. So as these coverings are let go of, and all of the paths are there to help you to go deeper, you know, to allow these coverings to be let go of. And as these coverings are let go of, more clarity comes. And in that moment of realization, when you come back then into this world, everything becomes clear. The ways and means of the path become clear. Doesn't matter what path you look at, you can see what it's designed to do, how it's supposed to move, how it's supposed to function. There's great clarity that comes at that moment. And that doesn't change. Okay? So this is why we come to these paths and we get foundations in place, so that once we reach there, the mind will stay still. If we come into this type of experience and then we come out and the mind starts rerouting, we will reroot again an identity. And then we could be pulled back into suffering. So this is why it's so important to have foundational practices in place that help to allow the mind to still. So that when we finally do get to that place, the mind remains still. And it doesn't again reroot and drag you back into suffering. Okay. Do we have any comments or any questions on that? Okay. How do mantras and chanting facilitate self-realization? Is it through focusing? Okay. It does help in one way to focus, but all mantras are based on energy as well. They set up a certain type of a vibration for you. Okay? So in this path, when you take Diksha, I give different types of mantras. Okay? In each mantra breaks through a different type of a level of a consciousness. It helps you to transition through that. Okay? But it also, yes, again, it also helps to develop focus and one-pointedness. And it also can help to open up the heart. If you do the mantra out of love, it also helps to open the heart. And this mantra also resonates within you to help you start changing the vibrational patterns that you are. Okay, so a mantra can do a lot of different things. A lot of different things. Okay. That's why there's so many different types of mantras, because each carry a different type of a vibrational influence as well. Okay. This is like, you know, I go to India and I see some of the people, and I used to be an ISKCON. So I went to visit where A.C. Bhaktivedanta was. And I'd see people there, and they're doing the Krishna mantra. They call it the Maha Mantra, the great mantra. Maha is great, the great mantra. But you see them, and especially the path of the Krishna ISKCON is supposed to be a heart, a bhakti path, a path of love, a path of devotion, to surrender to Krishna until you are not, and simply Krishna is. Okay. So you go there, though, into Vrindavan, which is supposed to be one of the most holy places for Krishna's, because... So anyway, you go there, and you see them sitting there. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Ram, Ram, Ram. I go, what, are you pissed off at Krishna? What? Are you angry? Are you pissed off? What? How does this equate with the path of love and devotion? What a difference between that and Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. You get more benefit from one of those mantras than 1,000 of Hare Krishna, 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare. How many can I get out at a time? If I do more, it's better.
I think some teachers said if you repeat the mantra so many crores, whatever a crore is, but so many crores of times, then you'll get enlightenment. They're trying to get them out as fast as possible.
Well, yeah, but they're defeating, because the mantra, one of the aspects of mantra, it has to be said in the right way. It has to have a certain vibration for it to work. And if it's a bhakti, then you need to do it out of bhakti in order to get the benefit of it. Okay? So if you're doing a mantra that's bhakti, it should be done from heart, from bhakti, from love, in order to bring the benefit. This is why the bhajans are so wonderful. They help to develop that, you know, if you do it from love, from the heart, it helps to open and expand that. I remember being in ISKCON. Every morning we get up. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutaleye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Ite Nomine Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We get up and sing every morning. It's done with love. So it doesn't matter whether you have the path of bhakti and you do it with absolute love until you finally, you're no more cognizant of yourself, only that divine presence. Or whether you do the path of jnana and you do the path of meditation and self-inquiry until you find out you know more and only that absolute is. Okay. In any case, it brings liberation. Okay. Can you talk about work? Here we go again. Was this a plan? how to make peace with the fact that I have to work, but I find it exhausting. So once again, if you come from the heart of doing karma yoga or seva, as if, you know, it's like, think of Mother Teresa. She worked very hard. But for her, it was a joy, a labor of love, because everyone she saw, didn't matter what condition they were in, for her, it was serving the suffering Christ. Okay. She wasn't ministering to this child that was dying or somebody else that was dying and riddled with cancer or, you know, whatever it is. She saw only Christ there. And she ministered as if she were ministering to Christ directly. Okay. So it's once again, it's that attitude, that opening. If you're doing it out of your own, you know, your own mindset that I've got to get through this, then yeah, you're depleting your energy. But if you open it up, you know, from the heart and start doing it and change the attitude, then you're not going to be as exhausted. Okay? So whatever we do in daily life, we can open up and have more of a spiritual connection. Okay. When people come here, this is what I teach, a living sadhana. Sadhana is spiritual practice. It's a spiritual practice of life. This is what Tantra really is. It's using everything to make spiritual progress. Okay. Forget about sex. Forget about all this other nonsense. It's not that. It's using every aspect of your life to connect with the spiritual, to progress. Okay. We do have some people that have taken sannyas. I hope more people will decide to take sannyas, become a karma sannyasi. And a karma sannyasi is someone that's doing, becoming a sannyasi, even in the midst of being married, whatever, doesn't matter. Karma and sannyas needs to be updated now. Not everybody can do sannyas and be a wandering sannyasi. You just can't anymore. Okay. So you have to be able to develop this path in the midst of whatever it is you're doing. Okay. You can be fully dedicated to the path and still be married, still have family. And in fact, it's a great opportunity to progress. Okay. So I hope we see more sannyasis as we go along, more people fully dedicated to karma yoga, bhakti yoga, meditation, jnana yoga, kundalini, the path of kundalini. I don't say kundalini yoga because we're not teaching asanas here and things like that. This is a path of kundalini through consciousness. Okay. So I thank you all for coming. This is the end of the satsang, unless somebody else has any more questions or comments or topics. And if not, we'll go ahead and take a break. There's tea in the kitchen. If anybody would like tea, you can make some tea. And then we'll come back and do some meditation. Namaste, and thank you for coming.